covenant woman, being a covenant woman. Another title would be, Another title would be how to give birth to the promise. How to give birth to the promise. So we'll figure out which title it fits after we're finished with the teaching. Okay. So let's go. We're going to start in the book of Galatians. And we'll go start at chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 22. Galatians 4:22. Now, if you've been here for a while, you know that our tagline here at Victory Christian Fellowship is inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. And that comes from Galatians 3:29, where it says that if we are Abraham's seed, then are we heirs according to the promise. So that's where that comes. But let's look at Galatians 4, verse 22. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid and one by the free woman. But whereas the child of the slave woman was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of the promise. Now all this is an allegory. These two women represent two covenants. One covenant originated from Mount Sinai, where the law was given and bears children destined for slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds and belongs in the same category with the present Jerusalem, for she is in bondage together with her children. But the Jerusalem above," okay, which is talking about from heaven, which is of the messianic kingdom of Christ, is free, and she is our mother. It is written in the scriptures, "Rejoice, O barren woman who has not given birth to children." This comes from Isaiah 54:1 is what they're quoting here, okay? So I wanted you to see verse 24, which is comparing the birth of Abraham's two sons. Now, we know that after Sarah died, Abraham had more children. He actually had another wife. Her name was Keturah, and he had other children with her, but there's not much mentioned about those children. You know, there's not a lot going on in the Bible as far as telling what happened to them after. So we're focusing on his two sons. One represents the flesh and things done in a natural covenant, a natural way, and one represents the spiritual covenant that we have with Christ. Let's look at the whole story here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to look at this and see some things. And what I want you to get out of today is that, first of all, you have to think of yourself in the right perspective. You are a covenant woman. A covenant woman with God, because you receive salvation. If you're not saved, you're not. But if you are saved, you are, okay? Because you've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you became born again out of heaven. You were born again out of the heavenly realm, which verse 25 talks about, "Sing, O barren woman who haven't born children," all that. That's talking about being spiritually born again. And so your natural birth, the nature of your natural birth, it's not the thing that really shows who you really are, okay? It's not your blueprint then for how you should live. Which really, this will go into our theme of the T, you know, because we're honoring our heritage. But here's the deal. Because we know that we, because what does the Bible say? If you're born, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Okay? So that means the you now is brand new and you never existed before this brand new moment when you become born again. So that means everything that you were before was all about the natural man. It was a very natural you, and that's now dead. So what that gives me opportunity to do is, it gives me opportunity to start from scratch. I mean, I got a brand new start here. So also it means that the things that are natural in your family line, the natural things, the human things that are the bad habits, the addictions, all these things, you don't have to, your life doesn't have to follow the blueprint of that pattern anymore, because you are now a covenant woman. You are now a child of the covenant, of the promise. The covenant is the same as the promise for what I'm talking about, okay? So let's look at chapter 16. It says, now Sarai, now notice that their names weren't changed yet. Okay, so we have Sarai and Abram's wife, so they're both the same old name, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. Now, just the fact that her maid was Egyptian, for the sake of the Bible, you know, these are Jews and Egyptians. So the Egyptian represents the world system, the world, okay? So here she had a maid that basically, for our terms, she wasn't saved. Unsaved maid, let's put it in our terms. And Sarah said to Abram, see here, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. I'm asking you to have intercourse with my maid. It may be that I can obtain children through her. Abraham listened to and heeded what Sarah said. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her Egyptian maid, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his secondary wife. And he did all that stuff. She became pregnant. And when she saw that she was with child, look at verse 4. When she saw that she was with child, she looked with contempt upon her mistress and despised her. Okay? First, she was just the maid. See, when she was in her rightful position as maid, there's nothing mentioned in the word that she ever did this. She never looked at her as Sarah and despised her, okay? She was in her rightful position. Sarah took her out of her rightful position to try to get her to do what Sarah's position was supposed to do. And the result was Sarah got to be despised and mocked by this woman who was now doing what Sarah was supposed to be doing, okay? And then Sarah said to Abram, may the responsibility for my wrong and deprivation of rights be upon you. I gave my maid upon your bosom, and when she saw that she was with child, I was contemptible and despised in her eyes. May the Lord be the judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarah, see here, your maid is in your hands and power. Do as you please with her. And when Sarah dealt severely with her, humbling and afflicting her, she fled from her. So Sarah did as she pleased. She was a little meanie. She became mean to this woman who she asked to bear a child for her with her husband. So she asked for it, but then when the thing turned around and mocked her, she couldn't handle it. She could not bear it. So she was talking to her husband about it. He said, hey, she's in your hands to do whatever you want to do with her. So she started treating her badly. The woman ran away. Now notice, the woman ran away while she was still pregnant. The child hasn't even been born yet. The woman was still carrying Sarah's husband's child, okay? And verse 7. But the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness on the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where did you come from and where are you intending to go? And she said, I am running away from my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and humbly submit to her control. Also, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be numbered for multitude. Now, didn't Abraham have the same promise about Isaac, about as much as the sand? Basically, you couldn't be numbered either. Now, the angel didn't say as much as the sand, as the sea, and all this, right? It's not the same promise. It's not the same promise. Okay, and the angel of the Lord continued, see now you are with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael. Now, the Lord also named this child, okay? Because the Lord has heard and paid attention to your affliction. Verse 12, and he, Ishmael, will be as a wild ass among men. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he will live to the east and on the borders of all his kinsmen. So she called the name of the place where the Lord spoke to her, you are God of seeing and all this. Now notice, Hagar didn't know God like Sarah and Abraham did. So she named God based on the, she named him as a God of this, as a God of that. You know, I name you this place, this, because you're the God of this, and you're, because that was how they were used to, like in Hinduism. You know, if in Hinduism that tree saves somebody's life, then that tree becomes a God, that just the God of saving my life. So now they'll start worshiping the tree. You see, there's a difference, right? Now, what I want you to notice is the angel of the Lord says in verse 9, go back to your mistress and humbly submit to her control. Now, in our day, if that were to happen, we would say God's not fair, right? That's not fair. She treated me bad. I mean, she must have treated her really bad. I mean, this woman was already a slave. So it's not like she's used to being treated like, you know, royalty here. So she must have really kicked up the treatment on her. Sarah must have, that, to cause her to run away. First of all, she's running away pregnant, knowing that she's pregnant. So it had to be severe enough where she didn't care that she had to take care of this child by herself. What's she going to do? She's been a slave her whole life. But she, it was bad enough that she ran away. Here's something I want you to know. God will cover your back. If you're a covenant woman, he'll cover your back. You could be a meanie, he'll do it, but then he'll correct you. But he'll always cover your back, because the covenant that God has with us is important enough to him that he wants to see it fulfilled for his glory. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about Sarah. It's not about making her great and all this. It's about that he needed a promised child come out of her womb, because he said it and he made a covenant with Abraham. Okay? So Sarah, in her emotional reaction to this, mistreated her maid, her servant, and caused her to run away. But God told the servant, he calmed her down and said, your child is going to be great. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. Go back and submit, humbly submit to Sarah, who in this tent is the covenant woman. Now, let's take this picture for a minute. Both women lived in the same tented area, okay? The same place, the same family dwelling, right? It might not be the exact same tent, but it's the same territory, okay, owned by Abraham. Both of them have something else in common. They both slept with Abraham. One of them became pregnant. The other one hadn't been pregnant for years doing that with Abraham. Okay? But still, God did not switch and say, okay, since Sarah obviously has wronged me in some way, she is not going to be the one to do, you know, to have this promised child. I'll just make Hagar work. I'll make it work with Hagar. Because after all, it's still Abraham's seed, right? Because, you know, if you read about the promise, it always talked about Abraham's seed. It never talked about Sarah's egg or her womb for that matter. You understand what I'm saying? It always talked about Abraham's seed. Well, Abraham's seed was in Hagar's womb. But it still was not the covenant promise. The covenant promise included all of Abraham. All of Abraham included Sarah because she was his wife. And in Genesis, when Adam and Eve got married, Adam announced that she is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones, right? And also the two shall become one. So Abraham without Sarah giving birth to the promise is not all of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's look at it in our life. Us trying to give birth to the covenant promise of what God wants to do through us without God is not all of the promise. Do you see what I'm saying? It is doing what Abraham was trying to accomplish with Hagar. The Bible tells us that we're blessed coming in, blessed going out. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath, Deuteronomy 28. When you touch something, whatever I put my hands to shall prosper. All those things will still happen. God didn't curse Ishmael. A lot of people think God cursed Ishmael and blessed Isaac. This wasn't a curse. I'm not reading a curse here. But it's not his complete. It's not the birthright blessing. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's Abraham's seed, this is what I'm going to do. But this is not the covenant promise blessing that I have bestowed or held back for what I want to do with Abraham and Sarah. Okay, let's read on. All right. Verse 15, and Abraham, this is chapter 16, verse 15, and Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. Now, how old was Abram when he had Isaac? He was 100, right? Because Sarah got pregnant when he was 99. And so at 100 years old is when Isaac was born. So here he's 86 years old. Now, the Bible never says how old Hagar was. I've never seen any historical thing. Maybe there is something out there that tracks her age or whatever. We don't know how old she was, okay? And so he was 86 years old. And he still had to believe. Now, this is nothing then. So now I still got to believe for the actual promise because this isn't it. Now, I want you to notice something in chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. So, okay, he was 86 in verse 16 of chapter 16. Chapter 17, verse 1, he's 99. So that's 13 years later. 13 years later, he hears from God. Yeah. 13 years later, he hears from God. 13 years later, Sarah has to live with her servant who gave birth to her husband's child. And from that birth time to 13 years later, she never heard anything from God either. There's no record of it. 13 years. What did you do 13 years ago? 13 years, okay? Think about it. All right. The Lord said, I am Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, which means blameless, wholehearted, or complete. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Well, that's great to know, God. Thanks. Then Abram fell on his face and God said to him, did he lose his respect for God in 13 years? He didn't hear from God for 13 years. No, he fell on his face. How do we feel? You know, some people say all the time, well, I feel like I'm in a dry time in my life. I haven't heard from God for a month. Okay. Did you read your Bible? Well, I'm just so dry, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Well, maybe that's why you haven't heard from God, because he's talking all the time in his Bible. Do you understand? 13 years, he didn't have a Bible to read. 13 years, he didn't hear from God. And then God shows up, and he falls on his face. All right. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. So here's verse 5. Nor shall your name any longer be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. His name changed when? After the birth of the unpromised child. You see? When God was ready, God was preparing him for the birth of the promised child. He changed his name. That's when he changed his name. Before that, the name that he was given from his family line stayed. And he did stuff that his family line would have done. Because what Sarah did was traditionally the way that people did in those days when the wife couldn't have a child. Her maid would have a child for her. So what Sarah did was traditionally accepted in the culture. First of all, if it wasn't, you would have heard a big uproar in the Bible talking about how Abram was accused of this and that because his maid had a child for him. But none of that happened because that was the norm. So the whole time he kept his father-given name, he behaved like his father-given people would have. Right? Now God says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to set you up to start behaving like my covenant guy. First thing we're going to do is change your name. This is like a parallel to what Jesus came and did for us, because the first thing he does with us, before I can start getting you in the covenant thing, you got to first become a new creation. I'm going to change your old you into a brand new you, right? So his name now, and he said, verse 6, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting, solemn pledge to be a God to you and to your posterity after you. And I will give to you and to your posterity after you the land in which you are a stranger, going from place to place, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall therefore keep my covenant. See it here? Keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your posterity after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of, and all that stuff. Okay? That was the covenant he was supposed to keep. He that is born in your house, verse 13, and he that is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be with your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the male who is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, because he has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, which means princess, her name shall be. And I will bless her and give you a son also by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son? And he said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So he's going, God, I already got 13 years in this kid. Oh, please, don't make me do this again. I want Ishmael to live before. Can you just transfer all this stuff that you just said? just kind of transfer it over to Ishmael, right? So what did God say? But God said, this is verse 19, God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. Laughter. And I will establish my covenant or solemn pledge with him for an everlasting covenant with his posterity after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard and heeded you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He will be the father of 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, verse 21, but my covenant, my promise and pledge I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah, new name Sarah, will bear to you at this season next year. And God stopped talking with him and went up from Abram. God said, okay, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye. Okay. You see what I'm saying? God kept saying to him, My covenant is with you and Sarah. You cannot fulfill my covenant without Sarah. Half of you can't do what I want all of you to do. Half of you cannot do what he wants all of you to do. So what does that mean? Let's examine this tent. In the tent of Abraham's household, there was Hagar, which we will call the world system. She represented the world. And there was Sarah, which we will call the covenant part. After so long, after God had told him about this, your child, you know, your, see, before she gave him her maid, before Sarah gave him her maid, God had told Abraham that I will make you the father of many. He had told him this already 13 years earlier, or 12 years earlier. And there's no record in the Bible where Abraham ever told Sarah this. But what she did was what was normally done in that culture. After she's seeing, I'm getting old. Now see, if he was 86 when Ishmael was born, if he was 99, right? His wife was 90. He was 100. She was 90 when they had the child. They're 10 years apart. So at 76, on Sarah's part, is when Hagar had the baby. Okay? So Sarah was 76 when Ishmael was born. So if you look at this in the natural, I mean, really, you're trying to kind of help God out here. You know, God, I really want to do what you want me to do, but okay, so I'll use the resources you've given me. So I'm going to take from the world system to help out this covenant that you want to fulfill. Because I haven't heard from you for a while. So then you fulfill the covenant. You know, you think you're fulfilling the covenant. Think about this. You think that you have birthed the promised child. And God didn't come and tell you otherwise for 13 years. And then he finally shows up and says, oh, by the way, we're going to do a name change. And then I'm going to tell you this time next year, you're going to have a baby. You see what I'm saying? Which reminds me, that's probably what my dream was. Anyway, just got a revelation in a dream I had 2 nights ago. But within, when God showed up after 13 years, within 1 year, the promise was birth. Right? Through the laughter and everything. So for 1 year now, the practice had to be this. Abraham, every time he had to reintroduce himself to people. We know he had at least 300 trained servants, because when Lot needed to be defended, he took with him his 300 trained servants to go fight for Lot. So he had over 300 people living in his house. They all had to learn his new name. So he started with who he had. So the whole house now started calling him father of many nations, Abraham. Then everybody he did business with, he had to reintroduce himself. Hi, as of last night, my name was changed. I am now Abraham, and my wife is now Sarah. You see? So for 1 year before the birth of the child, he was saying it. Now, yes, at this time next year, Sarah will have a child. So the child's in the womb. Okay, this woman is 90 years old. There's a lot of things that could happen to a child in the womb of a 90-year-old woman. Right? Like when time for birth comes, she going to die on the table, or she going to, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, could you imagine if our hospitals today had to deal with a 90-year-old woman giving birth? I mean, we would hear so much about it. There would be so many things of why it couldn't happen, that they would forget the fact that she actually got pregnant. Right there is something that should have never happened. So let's go with it. She got pregnant. Let's keep, you know. And she gave birth to this son. Okay? Now, this whole time, while she's pregnant, living in the tent of promise, after she gave birth, this other thing that was born, that was not of the promise, is living there too. Right? And she is second to do this thing for Abraham. But in God's eyes, this was the beginning. Do you see? In the world system, you know, okay, for many people with this whole economy situation, they lost a lot of money in the stock market. For years, all the labor they put in to working, so when they're ready to retire, this second life could happen, they lost a lot of it. So the second life isn't looking too good right now. And they don't, and for some people who are Christians, they wait till after they've retired before they even do what God wanted them to do the whole life that they were living. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God can still take whatever you give him, and he'll be able to work with it. The problem is now you're going to have a little harder of a time believing it yourself. You're 90 years old. And the people around you are going to have to do a lot more convincing of a 90-year-old having a baby. But God, as far as God's concerned, that's the beginning of it. I'm still planning to do what I want to do. You understand what I'm saying? And this has more to do with more than you being saved. Okay, like you got old and then you got saved. That's not the point here. The point here is there's a covenant promise that God has with you that he wants to fulfill, and it requires you and him, not a maid, not a servant, not a hand-me-down. You don't give him somebody else and say, Lord, she's more talented than me in this area, so why don't you just use her to do this thing? You see what I'm saying? If he ever told you 13 years ago that I expect you, out of you, I want this to come, he didn't forget it, and neither did he change his mind if you see that somebody else is doing it. Have you ever gone to a place, a service, a place, whatever it is that you do, like something that you like to do, and you go somewhere and you see somebody else doing it? Do you find yourself sitting there going, well, I could do that better. I can't believe that they're up there doing that, and I could do it better. Have you ever thought that? Did you ever think that? Nobody has? Okay. You know, I could do it better. Like, the thing is, you probably should have been the one up there doing it. Maybe. Or doing it something like that somewhere. But you never stepped out to do it. Because you might think you can't carry it. You're too old now. You don't have the right resources. You know what I'm saying? So, my time is up. I mean, Sarah laughed and said, shall I have pleasure again with my husband? Are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about the logistics of having a baby. It's not just like, whoop. By the way, Abraham, I just supernaturally took the seed from your body and planted it in Sarah. This time next year, there shall be a child. No. They had to do stuff they haven't done for a long time. Quite possibly. All right. Now, a woman of covenant takes authority over her promise. She doesn't sell it out. Sarah sold it out in the beginning. But God came back and made everything align again. He lined things up again. See, when God comes and talks to us about our plan that he had for us originally, he doesn't go to the book he wrote about you and say, you know what? We need to make a few adjustments here. I picked the wrong person. I don't think they're going to quite work out. He will push it. He'll come back. I mean, he came 13 years later. Abraham's living fine and good. He's got a son. He's teaching him how to shoot an arrow and bow. He's going out with him in the field. I mean, everybody knows this is Abraham's son. And then God comes and says, oh, by the way, your promised child is yet to be born. Abraham's going, I'm 99. I got to do all this with another kid? I mean, come on. Okay, now let me show you something else. Verse chapter 21 in Exodus. Exodus 21 and verse 1, it says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for her as he had promised. For Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time God had told him. Abraham named his son, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old. As you remember, God had said that this is the covenant. Now hold your place there for a minute and go to Galatians chapter 5. Hold your place right there because we're going to go back there. But go to Galatians chapter 5. And verse 2. It says, notice it is I, Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no profit to you. I once more protest and testify to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation and bound to practice the whole of the law and its ordinances. If you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing and so separated from Christ. For we, through the Holy Spirit's help by faith, anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and right standing with God. I'm reading the Amplified here, so I'm trying to skip through some things. To hope. For if we are in Christ Jesus, now verse 6, this is what I want you to see. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Verse 7, you were running the race nobly. Who has interfered in your heeding and following the truth? This evil persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to freedom in Christ. And then it goes on to a little leaven and all that, that. But verse 6 tells us, see, now that Jesus came, okay, so this is what I want you to see. In Abraham's time, the covenant was the covenant promise to show that you are in covenant with God, that you're agreeing with him, is to have the circumcision occur. Because Abraham got circumcised himself at an old age, okay? But now, because of what Jesus did, what Jesus did was the final circumcision, if you will say it that way, okay? So because of Jesus now, our righteousness is made through him. So in order to come in covenant with what God wants us to do, our act of agreeing with his covenant is the coming in union with Jesus, through Jesus to God. You understand what I'm saying? So now that's how we submit to God's covenant. All right? So Abram brought Isaac into this covenant promise situation that God told him about a year earlier when he circumcised him. Okay? So are we all clear on that? Now let's go back to chapter 21 in Genesis. Okay. So, and verse 4 is where he circumcised his son. Okay? And verse 6, Sarah said, God has made me to laugh. All who hear will laugh with me, I'd say. And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children at the breast? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Did she seem happy about this? I mean, this is awing to her. Like, wow, who would have said that I would give my husband a child at his old age? And she was nursing the child. I mean, not only the womb had to work, but other parts had to kick in too. You see what I'm saying? But look at the joy that this brought into the camp, into the tent of promise. And verse 8, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abram made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, normally I think it's at 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old in the Bible days that they weaned. Verse 9, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking Isaac. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. Now, you remember in Genesis 16, when Hagar was pregnant with Ishmael, she despised Sarah, okay? Now, the child himself is mocking the promise, right? Verse 9, you see? Now, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking Isaac. Therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight on account of his son Ishmael. So think about it. She's telling him, you know, you better get this kid out of here because he's not going to be part of my, you know. All right, you can see that conversation, right? God said to Abraham, do not let it seem grievous and evil to you because of the youth and your bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said to you, do what she asks. Here again, God's backing up his covenant. For in Isaac shall your posterity be called. And I will make a nation of the son of the bondwoman also, because he is your offspring. So Abram rose early in the morning and took bread. So he saddled them up and he sent her on her way. And she wandered aimlessly and lost her way in the wilderness. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to her, told her what to do. And basically the kid dwelt in the desert, right? And all that. Okay? Now let's see here. Okay. Then in verse 22 is where God tested Abraham. I said something to Pastor Doug one time, you know. We're talking about kids or something. But listen, God, Sarah, there's no evidence about it. You remember when Isaac was 12 years old, the Lord told Abraham, sacrifice your son, right? Abraham took his son with two servants and went and said, we'll come, the boy and I'll come back to you. You know, just stay here, we'll go. Sarah didn't know what was going on. At least in the Bible, there's no record. There is no way. There is no way that this mama was going to have her son be sacrificed. Which, you know, which really supports the scripture that God will never give you more than you can handle. A mama can't handle being told to go kill your son for God. A mama just cannot handle it. Okay? So God told the father. He tested the daddy, right? And the daddy passed the test for the whole family, all right? Now let's go back to Galatians, where we were. So you get to see the history of what happened there, all right? Okay, go to Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. And I'm going to read it for you from the Amplified. Tell me when you're there. Galatians 5:17. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh," or to the godless human nature. "For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law." If you look at Galatians 5:1, it says, or look at Galatians 4:31, it says, "So brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman or the natural, but of the free, the supernatural." Galatians 5:1 says, "In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off." Okay? And we see in verse 17 of chapter 5 that the flesh and the spirit, or the old nature and the covenant nature, they are antagonistic towards each other. They hate each other. Just as it showed with Hagar and Sarah, right? There was never any evidence before of Hagar and Sarah having any kind of a difficult relationship, right? I mean, they never had a, there was no mention of what the relationship was like before. She obviously was a good servant to Sarah, for Sarah to even consider her to have the child in her stead with Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? But everything changed when Sarah tried to do a covenant thing with a slave woman. That's when everything changed. The relationship that she had with that slave woman, the thing that woman was supposed to be doing for her, the whole picture changed. And what I'm saying to you today is, the Bible tells us to be in the world, but not of the world. Do you see what I'm saying? What is the covenant thing as a woman of God that you are supposed to be doing that you have let the world system side of you, which, let's put it down this way, your job, you know, the way that things operate in the world. What things have you let it sail by? Just let it, and it looks like it's producing, but it really, what it's producing is something that ends up mocking the thing you're supposed to be doing for God. So in other words, it completely works against the thing you're supposed to do for God. Do you see what I'm saying? So let's look at how that breaks down. You're working all the time. I mean, you're constantly chipping away at it, and you never have time for what you're supposed to do for God. Now, I'm not saying a job is bad or any of that. What I'm saying is you have to know what your covenant promise is, and don't lose sight of it. Don't get so caught up. I mean, Sarah sent that woman packing. She mistreated her so bad, she ran. But what did God do? He sent her right back and said, "Submit to her humbly." So God sent her back to work for Sarah. That's what she was doing. She was working for Sarah. So she still had a job to do. But the difference was, she had started mocking and despising Sarah. So the thing is, in our house, we call our house, let's call our house the tents of promise. Are we actively engaged as a participant in that promise, or are we handing it off to somebody else to do our part? If you're married, your husband has something he's supposed to be doing for God. Are you helping him do it, or is he on his own doing it with some other person? Male or female, whoever, you know, it doesn't have to be a woman. You understand what I'm saying? I told Pastor Doug when we had just come to this church, there was a lot of things going on. And one day I woke up and I said, you know what? I refuse to help you give birth to have a kid with Hagar. I just woke up one day and said, I refuse to help you have a kid with Hagar. He goes, huh? I said, yeah, spiritually speaking. I refuse it. Because at that time, there were a lot of people who were carnally minded who were trying to persuade us to do things a certain way, which was not God's promise for here. And because it seemed like we were barren, nothing was happening. Nobody was coming in more than those leaving, and we didn't have this, and we didn't have that, and all this stuff. The tendency then would be that, okay, here's somebody capable of doing what we need done. Why not? God provided them. So I woke up one morning, and out of my mouth comes, I refuse to help you have a child with Hagar. And how that translated was that I was the person that had to help with that decision. I realized I had a big part to play in what was allowed to be birth and what was not allowed to be birth. And since I was the wife of the pastor, then it was my responsibility to help him produce the child, the covenant that God had for this place. Do you see what I'm saying? But the whole fight that we had was always about your wife, your wife, your wife. Everything I had to offer, nobody wanted to receive or even wanted displayed. But that's when the Lord woke me up and said, what do you think I sent you here for? I would have sent you with something else if that's what they needed. What you have is what I sent because that's what they needed. So out of you is what's got to come. And that's when I said, well, I'm going to learn from Sarah. I'm not giving him over to Hagar. Are you kidding me? I don't want to put up with that for the rest of our time here. You see what I'm saying? So look at your house. Look at your life. And see what you might have given over to Hagar to help you produce. It only took 13 years, but God kind of sent Hagar packing, but in a nice way. You know, he didn't like kill her, or, you know, there was no death involved or anything else. You understand what I'm saying? But Hagar has to leave at some point so that the real promise can grow up, the tests can come in, the things can happen that need to happen. So that, do you ever hear in the Bible they say the God of Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, and Jacob? Uh-uh. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? That's what we hear in the scriptures, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three generations, it's established. God said, I'll establish forever this covenant between me and you and your descendants forever. But Isaac was the promise. So in your life, you know, how does this translate to you? What my message really to you is, as a covenant woman, you don't let your life just drive an autopilot. Because Sarah was so used to having somebody do all this stuff for her. Think about it. I mean, she had a servant, Hagar. Well, she had more than one, but Hagar must have been her immediate help. So everything was done for Sarah, you know, that's my goal. I'm so funny, everything done for me. And so this is just one other thing. It's acceptable in the culture. It's expected, actually, for that household to have a child that has the name. And the only thing needed to do that is the husband, really. But God changed it. God required the wife too. He kept up his word that he had in Genesis when he said to Adam, it's not man. It's not good that man should be alone. And he provided for Adam Eve. And Eve and Adam had children. Do you see what I'm saying? And Adam is the one who said that we are now one with the marriage thing. So God followed his order in doing that. We, when we come in covenant with God, we have to produce something with God. He's our husbandman. So if you have a family that's hooked in with God, the whole family structure, he expects to do something like that. Don't hand it off. Now, what do we look for? We look for things we're doing that are the tendency of our natural heritage. You know? My mama did it this way, my daddy did it this way, whatever. If they didn't do it that way in covenant, you're following the wrong blueprint. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac followed in his father's footsteps of Abraham, but that wasn't a bad blueprint to follow. He was following the covenant promise, wasn't he? Because Abraham kept the covenant, Isaac followed it. Isaac blessed Jacob, Jacob followed it. You see what I'm saying? Joseph followed Jacob's. You see? So what is it in our life that we might not be following that's in covenant, but we're following that's out of the covenant? Because of God, because we are God's children, yes, what we put our hands to will prosper. Yes, we'll be blessed coming in and going out. But the thing is, don't let that distract you from thinking that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's merciful, so he'll bless what we do. A lot of people make this mistake. They think because they have a lot of money, because they're making money, or because something they're doing is profitable, then they're doing God's will. That's not true. It just means because you're a Christian and what you put your hands to is prospering, you're favored when you go somewhere. A lot of people live their life based on open doors. Like, if the door opens for me, then I'm supposed to have it. If it doesn't, then I'm not. That's not how God's covenant is. I mean, think of Sarah's womb. She did that way. Well, then the womb didn't open up. Then it's not God's will. And you see what I'm saying? It's based on his word. What did he say to you? What did he put in your heart as a desire? What is it that you are supposed to do? That thing he wants to do. And your age does not matter. He broke the age barrier when he did what he did with Sarah. I mean, my gosh, that's the ultimate age barrier breaker right there. A 90-year-old woman giving birth? Come on. You see what I'm saying? He broke that barrier. He wants to keep his covenant with us. So whatever and here's the place you find it. You find that at the place when you receive salvation. You see, a lot of people, when they get saved, they start getting on easy with their life. They start thinking of all the people around them that needs to get saved, first of all. And then they start thinking about all the things that are bad. And in a way, you have to watch yourself that you don't start judging these people that are bad, because you used to be one of them just like a day ago. Like, yesterday, you were right there. But what happened is, it's like the veil gets lifted, and you start seeing now, and you're going, oh my gosh, that is just bad. But you were there yesterday. But with that veil lifted, is this desire gets birthed, it activates. You know, Pastor was talking on Wednesday night about activating. It activates your covenant, your destiny, activates your purpose in you at salvation. So think about when you got saved, what you were passionate about. Like, what were you fired up about? Even if it's 13 years later, guess what? He still wants to remind you about it. And he might want to change your name about the thing now. Now you're ready, we'll change your name. This time next year, this is what's going to happen. You see what I'm saying? So how do you change your name? You start, instead of saying, I can't do this, your new thing now to everybody is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, right? With God, all things are possible. That's his word. He gave us his word, and that's what we use. Abraham didn't have a Bible. I mean, can you imagine for 13 years, he didn't hear from God? But I bet you still worshiped him. I bet you still trained his kids in his ways. His household was still intact with the laws of God at the time. It was the laws. You see? What would we do if we didn't hear from God for 13 years? Oh my gosh. People would be mad at God. People are mad at God just in a day. You know, because something happened not their way, so they're mad at God. He still wants to keep his covenant with us. So don't think that you can just pass off what you're supposed to do to the most helpful person in your life. You'll start seeing that relationship change if you're doing that. They'll start mocking you. And this. Oh, and the other thing is when they give birth to the thing that you were supposed to give birth to, that thing will try to mock the thing you're trying to give birth to if you decide to wait 13 years after them. You know, we call it like competition, you know, in the business world, competition and, you know, all that stuff. But God knows how to take care of that. God will always back up his covenant woman. I'm telling you, look at Sarah. She was not the model mistress or master, whatever you call her. I mean, she was mean. And she was like to Abraham, this bondwoman's child is mocking my child. You need to send her away. She's not going to be part of the heir of my son. God backed her up. God told Abraham, don't be mad. This is what you're going to do. She's right. He actually told Abraham, she's right. So I'd rather be doing what God wants me to do and mess it up because I know he'll back me up. Than to hand it off to somebody else to do and then get mad at them, right? Because you know when you've given up what you're supposed to do for somebody else to do, you are never happy about it. You end up getting mad. You get jealous. I should have been doing that. It was my thing. But guess what? You didn't. It was in your... Didn't Abraham say it's in your power to do with her whatever you want to do? So she decided to be mean. God backed her up. Right? So here's the other part of it. Don't mess with another woman who's following God's covenant. Because guess who's going to go packing? It ain't her. What you do is you pray for her that, oh Lord, please help her not to be so mean. Let her see that she could be nicer. Because you got to stick with her. Because if God assigned you to her, you see? So always remember that the flesh will always be against what the Spirit wants. Okay? And the other thing is the offspring of the bondwoman. If you go back and read it in 16 and 21, God said to Hagar that your son will always be fighting. The things we do in the flesh is always going to be at war. It's always got to fight for its existence. It's always fighting to survive. Whereas think about Isaac. Isaac was in the land where there was famine, and he was getting ready to go to Egypt. And God said, no, 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 no. You're going to stay right here and sow right here. And that same year that Isaac sowed, in the same year he reaped 100-fold in a land of famine. So if you're in the if you're following the covenant lineage, you will always be able to multiply. If God said that's what it's going to be, that's what's going to multiply, no matter where you are. You see what I'm saying? So, and then lastly, a couple things that the covenant people had that Hagar was never present for was when the angel of the Lord, when they came and they were telling Abram in the tent, some version said that Sarah heard, she overheard, that they were saying, oh, your wife's going to have a baby next year, and she started laughing. Hagar never heard that, right? Sarah did. The covenant people get to hear God's instructions. We get to hear God's instructions. He doesn't hold it back from us. And covenant people always have help. Sarah had Abram. They had resources. Hagar didn't. She was out on her own. She wandered aimlessly in the wilderness. Okay? If you look at the world system today, tell me who's going to help who. Do you see all the stipulations to the help they're offering? Think about it. All the help that's being offered, it's got strings so tightly tied that, my goodness, you become a puppet if you participate. That's the kind of help that the non-covenant will offer us. But with God's covenant, when we follow it, we got all of heaven backing us up. Angels dispatched all over the place to make stuff happen. I mean, they know where to find every king on the face of the earth if that's what it takes to get something done. Do you see what I'm saying? But the world system have their resources, all have to have something attached to it so they can pull at you when they want. But with God, we are free. We're not slaves. Anytime we subject ourselves to that bond situation again, we become slaves again. We are not slaves. We're free. Amen? And that's what free covenant women do. We follow the instruction, as crazy as it may sound, and we live out the promise. We live out the promise. I want to die knowing I fulfilled the promise. I don't care how it looks on earth, what the family line looked like before me. If they didn't follow the promise, I don't want any part of it. I don't disown family, but I don't do what they did either. I'm following promise. Amen? The good thing is I don't have to disown anything because I'm second generation of following in the ministry. Gabriel will be third, so I'm good with that. But anything that happened before that, it was Hinduism. I'm not following that. None of it. That's why New Age probably turns me off so badly, because it's another form of Hinduism. Because that's the dead. That's the old man. I'm not raising that up from the dead again. Amen? You got to let it die. Just let it wander aimlessly around. God will take care of those people. But you focus on what you're supposed to do, taking care of the covenant and the promise that you're supposed to take care of. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your word, that it will be engrafted in our spirits, in our hearts, Lord. We will have a revelation understanding more and more of what it is that you want to say to us about these scriptures and about the story of Abraham and Sarah, Father. And show us our covenant assignment with you, Father. I pray that every woman in this room, Lord, every woman in the sound of my voice will know what their covenant assignment is supposed to be, Father. And they will start walking in that covenant, no matter how old they are, how young they are, how much time they've invested in the old system, Father, in the slavery bondservant system, Father. They will see that a fresh start in your covenant is the only way to go, Lord. I thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.